It was November 10th, 2016, and just a month prior, I had had a life-changing experience with a really bad accident. But here I was, standing in front of 2,000-degree coals right there in front of me at my feet in Palm Beach, Florida, at a Tony Robbins seminar. And as I looked down at the coals, I could feel the heat from the 8-foot-long canvas, the heat of the coals against my skin. It was dark. I could still smell the coals, and they smelled just like a summer barbecue. People all around me were chanting, yelling, screaming, getting themselves into state. And as I stood there was a guide who was there. They didn't let anyone walk on the hot coals without an assistant. I stood there staring it down, and then they finally called my name. "Step up," said the instructor. So I stood and I placed my cold, wet feet on the warm grass that they had just before the coals. I stood there focused as the instructor stated, "Get in a state." And I said, "Yes, yes, yes." As the adrenaline began to rush through my body, I began to feel a lot more alive, much more awake, much more alert, and absolutely certain. And there was a point at which he tapped me, and he goes, "Get in a state." And I said, "Yes!" It was in that moment that everything changed as I strutted across the burning hot coals, unscathed, and coming out a firewalker. Our emotions are more than sensory impulses to the brain. They're actual wavelengths. Your thoughts are actually things. They let us know how we're interpreting the world and our experiences and giving us feedback in our association to it. When we project something out into the world, a thought, the world typically replies back in kind. The world always replies back in kind. It acts as a mirror. It's a two-way mirror that also will show us the inner depths of ourselves if we are willing to listen. And by understanding our emotions, they can be used as tools. Not to dictate how others impact us, but how close or how far away from what we desire. Our emotions will tell us whether we are on track or off track with our deepest desires. The more on track we are with our deepest desires, the easier it becomes to really, really feel things out and really, really understand and interpret to let us know if we are really on the right track for that which we desire. It takes time to trust our emotions, but when we do, we find ourselves doing things that we thought were impossible simply because we're actually using these emotions as a gauge. We're not restricted by it. It's something that we can actually use as a tool to really, really create something deeper than what we had initially intended. And by tapping into our emotions and using it, the power of our emotions can actually be used as a driver, to be used as a leverage to really propel us past perceived limitations. The emotions that we use, like happiness, joy, excitement, passion, these are the emotions that will actually move us forward. They can give us strength, they can give us power, they can give us a sense of understanding, a sense of clarity. Emotions are the things that we use to really, really help us get us to where we are. We should never be a victim of our emotions. Our emotions should not be using us. Emotions are a tool for us to use. But when we let our emotions use us, that's when problems begin to arise. We become in a state of reactiveness rather than proacting. It becomes something that we end up fearing and not necessarily using. So the fears that are within us, like arrogance, jealousy, fear, intimidation, lack, scarcity, all of these emotions are things that will hold us back. And it will literally and physically hold us back, and it will keep us from accessing the tools that we would need to actually move forward. But when we live in a positive state of joy, passion, intensity, all of those emotions are something that we can use to really push ourselves to the next level, to really get ourselves to do the things that we really want to do, and to really make something higher and much stronger than we had initially intended from what we were using previously. In a lousy state, we have the tendency to think we're lousy. Thoughts of not having much ammunition to bring resourceful thoughts or actions. In a lousy state, we're unable to get the tools and resources that we would need to really make things happen or feel the way that we want to feel. And your state isn't just in your head. Your state is something that affects the way that you interpret and see the world. If you're in a lousy state and you're in an environment, every single thing in that environment while you are in a lousy state is going to be reflective negatively. Even if it has positive intent, even if the external circumstance has a positive intent, your negative shadow will actually override that and will act as a filter. And all the negative things that you're seeing will be a direct response from that filter. Now, our emotions aren't a true reflection of what things mean, but our interpretation of what things mean in any given emotional state. So at any point in time, you're actually in a peak state or you're in a resourceful state. What happens is every single thing around you gets interpreted through that filter. So if you're joyful, if you're playful, even if things around you aren't going your way all the time, you will be much happier, at least in the short term, because you are actually using your emotions. You're actually using them to drive you forward. You're using them to pull you forward. You're using them in a resourceful and in a positive way to really get yourself to do the things that you want to do, or rather using the emotions that are around you when you're in a positive state. You perceive something as to be happy. You won't think about it. It won't be a big deal. You just kind of say, oh, well, that's just in a positive, you know, that's just, you know, this person's being silly, or they're being playful, or they're just joking. You won't take it as seriously, and you'll kind of just shrug it off. It won't be that big of a deal. It's something you can shrug off. You won't be paralyzed by it. You won't be intimidated by it. You won't be frustrated by it. You just go ahead and do the things that you wanted to go ahead and do. And, you know, and just not, it will, you won't let it bother you, basically. So when something does happen and something does go wrong, you're not bothered by it. It's not something that, you know, it's going to affect you or permanently paralyze you, or you think that ended up holding you back simply because it's something that wasn't exactly what you wanted it to be. So by using those emotions, and by understanding your emotions and understanding what your emotions may mean, you can really, really use those and really bend those to your will in order to make things happen even faster and much more powerfully than you would have had you not taken the time to really get yourself in a positive and reinforcing state. Yet on the contrary, if we're feeling excited or amplified, then we can really much more likely to do things that are be resourceful. We're likely to associate our experiences in a more positive light and reinforce positive feelings as an association to an experience. whenever we're having an experience, we associate that positive feeling to that experience. And whenever we have a positive feeling and we have that experience linked together, they automatically create an association. We begin to anchor an association into that. So in essence, whenever you have a positive feeling or you associate a positive feeling to an experience, it's always an experience that you're associating the positive feeling to. It's never just the experience alone. And every single time you see a face or have an experience or smell that cologne or go to that event, the feeling that's associated to that when you last left is what you're going to assign to that. It would be pleasurable. That's why the advantages of ending conversations on a high note or a positive note, especially like a phone call, can have a long-lasting effect simply because that is the last place that you actually left the scenario. By leaving it in that scenario, you were actually able to create that positive experience. So a lot of the experiences that we're having are actually, they're not just coming from our imagination. They're really anchored. We're anchoring in these positive experiences that we're having into the things that are going on around us. This is where things like rituals come into handy to reinforce patterns of positive emotions that get ourselves into the state that we want to be to experience the most on a consistent basis. So when we're constantly feeling a certain way, we have a certain state that we want to be in on a regular basis, we can literally condition ourselves to feel that state easier. We'll have easier time accessing that state if we spend time actually rehearsing and practicing ourselves to be happy. So if you want to feel joy, for example, you can condition yourself to feel joy. It doesn't have to be something that's automatically or controlled by the outside environment. It's something that you can actually control yourself. It's something you can influence. You can actually influence happiness. You can influence joy. You can influence passion. These are certain things that you can put inside and really rehearse. And by rehearsing the emotions that you want to feel, then you have the highest chance of actually experiencing that on a daily basis by simply making time. You might have to meditate. You might have to watch a funny movie, or you might listen to comedy on the way to work. There's tons of ways to do this. There's millions of ways to really get yourself into a positive state. It's really about just taking the time and making it ritualistic. By having a ritual, by having something that you can do to get yourself to feel the way you want to feel. I mean, you might be driving in your car on your way to work and might be having the radio blasting and you're singing to the top of your lungs and just having a good old time with the people around you in traffic looking at you like you're a crazy person. So that's something you can do on your own. You don't have to, doesn't require anything outside of you. You don't need an excuse to feel joyful. You don't need an excuse to feel passionate. You don't need an excuse just to be happy. You can be happy for the simple fact that you are here alive on this planet and on this earth. Now, by having a ritual or having situations set up so that being happy is inevitable, or at least, you know, feeling good is inevitable, is something you can schedule. You can schedule it, you can make time for it, and you can make it something that you can go ahead and rehearse and actually practice. So that's something really, really important to keep in mind with things that you want to go ahead and use and really deliver on whatever it is that you want to feel at that specific point in time. That's something that definitely worth keeping on track with and keeping inside to make sure that these rituals that we're practicing are constantly reinforced and they're constantly being rejuvenated and they're constantly being made on a daily basis so that we can feel more of that. Because, I mean, no one wants to feel bad all the time. And we're not going to feel good all the time either. So there's constantly a wave of emotions that we're riding. We're never one way all the time. There's a huge range of emotions that we feel. In the dictionary, we have way more words to describe negative scenarios than we do positive ones. That tells us in the English dictionary alone that there's just way more words that we have to express a negative emotion than we do a positive one. So, of course, you know, being positive, being optimistic, that's going to help you. And if you can condition yourself to feel that way consistently, then you'll have easier access. So even if something doesn't work out, or something takes a wrong turn, or you get bad news, or a project doesn't go your way, or, you know, a client, you know, cancels his service with you, you won't be living in pain. You might experience it. In fact, you will experience pain, but you won't live there. There won't be a permanent place that's reserved that says, John, this is the pain spot for you. This is the pain body that you must experience every day of your remaining life. No, that's silly. Living there isn't something that you have to be. You don't have to suffer in this pain. You don't have to sit and wallow in it day in and day out. You can actually practice being happy. You can teach your brain. You can hijack your brain for happiness. There we go. We have a term. Hijacking happiness for the hemispheres. But I'm trying to have fun here. All right. Your emotions is something that can be created, it can be regulated, and should be used. Not being a victim of your emotions, but actually making time to really plan and really use and be excited about what it is that you have in store. You know, what's something that you can be proud of? What's something that you're looking forward to? What's something you can appreciate? It's really looking at the little things around you, and may be a big thing. It may be a big thing that's coming up, but it's really about taking the time into really appreciating thing and showing a massive amount of gratitude. And that gratitude, I think, will actually grow. It'll help you build some kind of momentum toward getting you to the place that you want to be faster, simply because the way that you feel right now is going to help you get there, simply by feeling good about where you're at. Because in the future, the future will always be now. There is no happiness that's going to exist in the distant future. Or at least I don't believe that. I don't believe that there's a happiness to be obtained. Like at the end of the year, I want joy. No, joy is something you can experience, you can have right now. And even in the future, it'll still be just another version of right now. Happiness, joy, excitement, passion. Just jump up and down. Play some music. Yell to the top of your lungs. Sing. Grab your partner or your wife or your friend and just start dancing. Just have a good time. Just share emotions. Maybe take 5 or 10 minutes and play a song or two and just go silly and just dance and be playful and take time. Carve time out of your day to be playful, to do something that you enjoy, to do something that brings a smile on your face. It could be a phone call. It could be sending a text message. It could be watching a funny video on YouTube. Whatever it is, find a way to get yourself, to make yourself laugh, or to get into a resourceful state. And so you can actually take charge of your emotions. And you can really use those positive emotions, not just to be joyous, but to amplify the opportunity of happiness being spread all around you. Happiness is infectious. It's very infectious. Joy is something that people want to experience more of. Granted, yeah, anger and sadness get attention, but it's a very, very short-term attention. They'll say, oh, I'm sorry, and they'll pat you on the back. Oh, is everything okay? Oh, that's bad. That's real bad. I'm really sorry to hear that. No, fuck that. There's a lot of things that will come your way when you actually spend time in a place of gratitude and of happiness. So spend more time there. Spend more time appreciating the things that are around you and finding time to smile, to laugh, to love, to give, and do whatever it is that you can. Even if it's time alone, even if it's time to yourself, usually it seems like the only time that people want to get happy or be in an energetic, resourceful state is when they are usually during a sporting event. It's when their team's won, and they're yelling, they're laughing to the top of their lungs, and you know, they're screaming, and they're getting really engaged, and they're putting their whole body into it, and all of their emotions. That's the only time you usually consistently see people being overly joyed and overly emotional and overly excited is only during the sporting games. And that's if they win, if their team wins. So if their team loses, then, you know, they're likely to burn down their own town, or at least tip over a stranger's car, looting, breaking things, and setting things on fire. So, which is also another form of emotional expression. So with that in mind, definitely make sure that you just cut out time. Just cut out time for it. That's all I wanted to go ahead and specifically get across with that. When we experience emotions as a tool or a resource, there are varying levels of degrees of intensity with that emotion. Hate, for example, is a much stronger intensity than displeasure, and ecstatic is much more of a radiant feeling than, say, joyful. You see, these emotions have a scale that we can walk up or down depending on the level of intensity. So if you are feeling, let's say, ecstatic isn't even a word. Let's say that you're feeling excited versus good. Good, that's a good feeling. Good is an okay feeling, but then there's excited. And that's not much of a far jump. So it's easy to go from feeling good to feeling excited because the leap isn't that far. But let's say that you're feeling depressed. Going from depressed to joyful might be too much of a jump, and you might need a little guidance and a little walking up that emotional scale. And having to walk up that emotional scale takes time, and it takes something to really jolt your attention, to change your focus, and to cause you to ask new questions or to focus on something that will make you feel better. And as you began to slowly walk up this emotional scale, you began to experience the various degrees of emotion and really explore those varying degrees of joy or passion or excitement versus something like annoyance, frustration, fear, anger. And those lower emotions, when you're dealing with negative emotions, those can be very difficult to come out from. But the process is still the same. It's still walking up from those emotions. So say, for example, the emotion of anger is much more better than feeling fearful. They would rather experience anger rather than going into fear, because fear is a very disempowering state versus anger. At least anger has some kind of backed action, where fear can actually leave you paralyzed. So being cognizant, being understanding of the emotions and how they can actually play out into our daily lives can definitely cause a shift in how to use the emotions that we want to feel. Our emotions can work as action signals and can be used to influence a level of confidence, certainty, pride, strength, or any other range of positive feelings to help propel ourselves and to push past over-perceived limits or fears. This is when our emotions are to be a guide as well as a powerful tool in our creative arsenal. When we are experiencing and we've learned to use our emotion and see them as action signals, then there's a lot more that we can gain from them. Let's say that you're feeling maybe frustrated, and that the meaning of frustration could be that there's something that you're trying to do that's not exactly clicking the way that it should, and something needs to be changed in your procedure or your process. And as you begin to learn to either change the procedure or the process or the way that it actually feels, then you can use that signal whenever you're feeling frustrated about a certain scenario. You can ask yourself, all right, so what does this really mean? I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling frustrated because I'm not getting the results, and I'm trying something, but it's not working. So what if I look at what I'm actually doing during the process and actually changing that to getting the actual result that I want? If the process is sound, cool. And what am I doing wrong? Am I missing a step? Do I need to be more careful? Do I need to track my progress? Maybe I need to do like a checklist and have a physical checklist in front of me with the steps involved. And every single time I cross a certain threshold or I meet a certain point on that checklist, I can physically check it off the box and know that that's been completed. Maybe even having a QA process that I can go back through and quickly just touch and double check everything, maybe across multiple files or multiple scenarios or the multiple applications to make sure that everything is consistent toward the standard that we're looking to have. And by having that checklist, that physical checklist, you can draw up a checklist, you can print it out, and you can physically check things off to make sure that you're following the standard that you're supposed to be following at the best level, at the highest level possible. Some people don't need a checklist. Me personally, I've learned that I do need a checklist. I need to physically make my own checklist, and I can physically check things off, and that will make sure that I have the highest standard possible in the things that I need to create. Now, when we're dealing with the emotions and the emotional state to make sure that we're feeling the way that we want to feel, if you are in a peak state, you can have your mind will automatically start coming up with ideas that will support whatever vision that it is that you want. So if you're feeling excited, or if you're resourceful state, we'll call it, then you'll begin to have resourceful ideas support your beliefs. But if you have emotional states that are unresourceful, then your brain will start to build up this momentum in a negative place that will cause it to have more like thoughts. So that's where the like attracts like when it comes to dealing with your thoughts comes into play. Some people say it's the law of attraction that acts, that plays into that as well. And yeah, you can call it the law of attraction. You know, like thoughts attract. If you are feeling blissful, if all your bills are paid and your relationships are going well, yeah, you're going to feel great. And every single thing that you're seeing through the world might be through rose-colored lenses. And you will be able to use that to maybe see opportunities. You can even use your emotional state to see certain opportunities in your environment, even though they would have been in there before, but you may have not been able to see them initially simply because you may not have been in the right state in order to see them, even though they were in your environment. Eben Pagan, the author of Double Your Dating, there was a statement that he actually made that I thought was very interesting. When it came to dating and relationships and men trying to understand women, he made the statement of change her mood, not her mind, and which was a very, very interesting question. A very, very interesting philosophy. By changing someone's mood, you can actually change their mind. In fact, when we're making decisions, we don't make decisions based on logical reasons. We usually make decisions based on emotional reasons, and then we'll backwards rationalize it with logic. That's pretty interesting, huh? We make decisions based on emotion, and then we backwards rationalize it using logic. So knowing that we can get ourselves into a good place, and then we will backwards rationalize it with reason. So if you are maybe in a place where you're facing a challenge, for example, and you may not necessarily know how to overcome it, or how you're going to get around it, try getting yourself into a good emotional place first. Now, there's plenty of ways to do that. You can change your physiology, the way that you're actually using your body via exercise. You begin to ask yourself new questions like, what's great about this problem? And what about this problem is unique? And what other ways have other people had this problem before in the past? And how did they overcome it? Just by simply asking new questions and getting yourself into a more resourceful state, you will begin to find new ways to overcome any challenges. As well as doing those exercises and asking those questions doesn't mean that you will solve the problem. But it does mean that you would actually be able to think your way through possible solutions quickly. Now, there is a method that I've learned called the oh crap to okay method. Usually what happens is that when something happens, when we face an experience or we have a scenario where things aren't going right or something bad must have just happened immediately, usually the brain goes through a few simple processes. First, it looks at the scenario and it begins to judge it, and it magnifies the impact of the scenario of what it could have on your life. sometimes what can happen is that our mind will become overloaded. It will become completely involuntarily overloaded with information and begin to spiral out of control with these different ideas of how everything could possibly go wrong. Typically, when that happens, that's usually the oh crap method. And you're like, oh crap, I can't believe that this is going on. You know, why did I do that? Oh crap, this is going to affect this other area. And how am I going to solve this problem? And I have to let these people know that I have to cancel this meeting or this event because this is going on. And from that point, it usually takes a little while. Then you just go, oh God, okay, this is deeper than I thought because it's affecting other areas. And when that, after that happens, you begin to mull over it. Your brain starts to slowly think of different types of ways that you can probably get around this problem. And then it'll go to, okay, there's got to be a good way to handle this. There's got to be a good way to handle this. Usually, sometimes that problem would take anywhere from 5 minutes to 5 days. The idea is to get yourself from, oh crap, to okay, in a matter of minutes, if not seconds, based on what you're focusing on and the questions that you're asking yourself. And the questions that I had listed earlier are some ways that you can actually get yourself from unresourcefulness to resourcefulness easy, quickly, and simply. I hope you found something that was going to be valuable to you, and I hope that you found something that methods that's actually going to help you get to where you want to be. Thank you for listening and tuning into part 3 of this series. And next, we're going to go ahead and get to part 4. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and also like it and share it with anyone who you might think that might find this episode valuable. And I will speak to you guys again in the next part of the series. And just remember, the light at the end of the tunnel may be you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.